Well, good afternoon. It's Tuesday. The market's tanking. And this is Shelley Fishman, not Bill Buckmaster. Bill Buckmaster is on vacation again up in the Rocky Mountains of Canada, avoiding the smoke, but enjoying the cool temperatures and the beautiful scenery. And Tuesday is very often what Bill does is has a feature on the arts. And so what we thought we would do today is devote the entire show to the arts and to professional musicians and what it means to be a professional musician. And I don't want to talk about the market anyway, because it's down 400 points again, and it's too depressing. So we have a crowded studio today. We have four professional musicians here in the studio. I'm just going to go clockwise, kind of arbitrarily. Lisa Ote is a jazz and blues pianist and singer. Her partner, Diane van Derzen, they do duets. So she's a singer. Diane has many honors, been inducted into the Tucson Music Hall of Fame and the Arizona Blues Hall of Fame, and appeared with Grammy-nominated CD Ladies Man with Pine Top Perkins. Just long resumes of all these musicians. These are professional musicians. We're going to hear some of their music and talk about what it means to be a professional musician. As I go clockwise around the room, we've got Sean Campbell, who is currently with the Tucson Symphony and the Arizona Opera Orchestras, and her instrument is the French horn. And her husband, Michael Becker, who is the principal trombonist at the Tucson Symphony, and does classes for musicians who are training to be professional orchestra players. And so these are people that I've known now for a long time, and I can tell you that I think you as an audience really have a treat in store from these musicians. I'm going to continue to go clockwise around the room and just talk a little bit to Diane and Lisa. We have some music that we're going to cue up and let you hear. And the first piece is a tune that most of you are probably familiar with. It's called Bésame Mucho. What should we listen for in this piece, guys?
Well, it's actually a mashup of two songs, Bésame Mucho and Surrender. And that's something that we like to do a lot, is to combine sounds. But the thing that I like most about this piece is the emotions that come through. You know, that's what we always try to connect with our audience. And so that's what we hope that it'll connect to you as well.
And Lisa, you're playing the piano.
That's right.
On the piece, and both of you are singing. Yeah. So let's listen to some of Bésame Mucho.
Bésame, bésame mucho, como se fue esta noche la última vez. Bésame, bésame mucho, hold me my darling and say that you'll always be mine.
And we're going to fade out on that, and we're going to switch moods and switch instruments. And let's move to Sean and classical music. And we're going to hear Sean play a part of an opera aria, actually. It's O Mio Babbino Caro. And this is arranged for...
This is arranged for a brass quintet that I was in for a number of years, the heavy metal brass quintet. And so you'll hear two trumpets, trombone, horn, and bass trombone. And it was arranged by a member of the Tucson Symphony, Steve Gamble, trombonist. And we love vocal music. We love being inspired by singers, and this piece really spoke to us, so we asked Steve to arrange it for us.
And just as Bésame Mucho is a very familiar melody, I think you'll find this is also a very familiar melody. So let's hear O Mio Babbino Caro.
O
That's great. I should say that's from the opera Gianniskiki by Giacomo Puccini. And the last piece we'll hear in this first half of the show, Mike Becker, is the solo trombonist. And this is a very, very different sounding piece from the two that we've just heard. This is the trombone solo from Mahler's Third Symphony. Mike, what should we be listening for here?
Well, this may not be a familiar tune to a lot of people, but it's very familiar to trombonists because this is the piece that shows up on every single audition that we have to take. When you hear it, you'll understand why, because it features the money register of the trombone.
It's, got it.
Mahler was very specific about all the music he wrote. If you look at the music, you can see that there's markings on every note, and often there are words written because he wants to tell you exactly how he wants something played. So there's no question when you hear this that this has to be bold, maybe even scary, demonic, bone-chilling, whatever you think, but you'll understand when you hear it.
Okay, let's listen to that solo from the Third Symphony. Yeah, that's bone chilling. That's really great. So we've got three very, very different styles, very different types of instruments. Four, actually: piano, voice, French horn, and trombone. So that's what the show's about. And we're going to talk to these artists now a little bit about what it means to be a professional musician. So, well, let's start with you, Lisa. When did you get interested in music? How did you get interested in music? And when did you actually start learning about how to be a musician?
Well, in my family, it was a requirement that you choose an instrument. My parents took us out to the music store after listening to one of my dad's symphony concerts and said, choose your instrument. And so at first I chose the violin, because that's my dad's instrument. And I was about 4 years old, and a couple years later, I wanted to switch to piano. My mom said, "You have to be serious. You can't just change your mind." But after a year of asking, she gave me my piano lessons, and that stuck with me. And when my dad, he was a performer in the Portland Symphony Orchestra and opera, and also taught orchestra in the schools in Milwaukee, Oregon, and he let me sit in with his orchestras. So when I was like 5 years old, I got to play the violin and sit in with his elementary and middle school concerts. And I remember coming home from that concert, like this double, concert, came home, sat around with my hot chocolate, and it's like, yeah, this is it. This is what I want to do.
Really? That's great. Diane?
Well, it really happened to me when I was in kindergarten. I was madly in love with a little boy in kindergarten, and I wanted to express my feelings to him. And I didn't know how to do it, so I went home and I listened to my dad's collection of music. He loved Mario Lanza, and I knew I couldn't sing like Mario Lanza. He also loved
Could I.
He also loved Ella Fitzgerald, but I really wanted the passion of the music, and she was too nice. So I listened to Etta James, and I listened to her song, I Just Want to Make Love to You, over and over and over again. And I cornered him in between the Easy Bake Oven and the sleep mats, and I sang it as passionately as Etta James would, not knowing what any of the words meant.
But and how old again?
Kindergarten, 5 years old.
And she ended up in the
teacher sent me to the principal's office. That was a frequent occurrence. But then I knew what the power of music could do. So that was the moment.
Okay, that's a great story. Sean, When did you start taking lessons, and when did you know or suspect this might be something you wanted to do?
Well, I grew up in downtown Detroit, and Michigan is a very big public education music state. And so it was really the natural thing to do when I was in third grade to be talking with all of my friends about what instrument we were going to start taking in fourth grade. And so I listened to some music and picked the horn. I listened to Peter and the Wolf and thought that was pretty great. But it wasn't until I heard the Detroit Symphony play a live concert that's when the spark was lit. And
how old were you?
I was probably in fourth grade.
Okay, so we should say that the French horn is considered by most musicians to be the most difficult instrument to play.
And we say, don't remind us.
And same question for you, Mike.
Well, first of all, every instrument is difficult to play.
I get that. I know that.
Well, I think that Sean and I have somewhat similar stories. Music was always in my family, however. My father actually played the clarinet as a kid, helped get his family through the Depression up on the East Coast where he grew up. So we've always had music in the house. So I remember very early just putting on LPs. It used to be these big floppy round discs called LPs.
Got a huge collection of them.
Yes, right. And I would just roll around on the floor listening to music.
Wow.
And my father, my parents were jazz lovers too, as well as classical, and I was really first taken with the jazz stuff. And I took up the trombone in fifth grade, and the records on the record collection he had included some of the old guys that in the Dixieland era, Kid Ory, and mm-hmm. And also Jack Teagarden. And Jack Teagarden was the one that really influenced me.
So you were all younger than 10 years old when this bug bit.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And that's great. And you started taking lessons and studying and really mm-hmm. being serious about it. When we come back after this break, we're going to talk about milestones and disappointments. I should say the portion of the Buckmaster Show that we've just heard is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. For a complete listing of the many things you can do there, visit southwestnewmexico.org.
Did you know that most men die from preventable illnesses, or they simply accept many health conditions as part of getting older? That's why Tucson urologists formed Epic Health, a clinic designed just for men. In just 15 minutes, you can get a free screening worth $1,600 that looks at simple testosterone levels, vitamin deficiencies, various cancers, and a lot more. Epic Health is located at Grant and Swan and Crossroads East by Outback Steakhouse. Call 448-0401. Real doctors, real medicine, Epic Health. Men's healthcare, evolve.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
And we're back live in the studio. This is not Bill Buckmaster. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. And we have with us live in the studio today four professional musicians. We have Diane Van Derzen. We have Lisa Ote. We have Sean Campbell and Mike Becker. And we've been listening to some of their music, and we've been talking to them about what it means to be a professional musician. I should open up the Buckmaster Live line, 790-2040. If you have a question for these artists, please don't hesitate to give us a call. We always like to hear from the audience. I'm going to go counterclockwise this time. Mike, were there any milestones for you that let you know that, you know, this might be something that I'm going to do, you know, as a profession? You know, I'm not going to do what my parents want me to do, you know, and be an engineer or a lawyer. I'm going to go and play the trombone.
Well, I think that by the time I was in high school, I knew that I wanted to be a professional musician and I wanted to be a trombone player. And there was no obstacle from my parents. They were completely supportive of anything I wanted to do. So there was no problem there. I had this fantasy, I was young, that I was going to be a jazz musician and play in an orchestra. But when I got to college, I realized that that was really kind of impossible.
The styles are too different? Or?
Well, it just takes so much work. Ah. You have to dedicate yourself to one or the other. I mean, both are full-time jobs. And to be the best at something, you really have to dive into it and be focused, single-minded. That's what I found out anyway. Okay. So I went into the orchestra field. And my first job was a milestone in an orchestra in Georgia, in Savannah. That was a huge milestone for me. That kind of told me that, hey, maybe I can do this. But probably the biggest milestone was when I was 24, I became a finalist for the Chicago Symphony, and I was just blown away. I think at that point I realized, hey, maybe I can do this. Maybe I'm good enough. So.
And that was Schulte as the conductor at the time.
Schulte, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Playing for Schulte must have been fun.
Fun. Yeah, it was fun. Let's call it fun.
Let's call it fun. Sean, what about you?
Well, there were probably a lot of milestones for me as well that really helped me make the decision. But I was fortunate enough to go to a public school in downtown Detroit once again that was kind of like going to university, and you could major in music. And so I was in school with a lot of people who were equally serious about making music or theater or the arts or sciences their profession. But maybe the two milestones that really come to my mind are winning an audition when I was in high school to be in the Tanglewood Music Festival, which is where the Boston Symphony performs every summer. And I spent 9 weeks playing in a fantastic orchestra and also with the Boston Symphony and just immersing myself in being an orchestra musician. I'd say that was the first giant step. And then maybe the second is that I also won an audition to be in an orchestra that was the home orchestra of Carnegie Hall.
Oh.
And so I played a season in Carnegie Hall, and both of those things I think made me feel not only is this possible, but this is something that I just have to do.
That's great. Diane, what about you? When did you realize that this was going to be something you were going to make a living at?
Well, a couple of things when I was younger. First of all, my mom and dad, even though they really support music, there wasn't a lot of money. They were immigrants from Holland. And I really wanted to be in the jazz band in middle school. And they couldn't afford an instrument. So my dad scraped up enough money to rent me an instrument. And that was a huge milestone because there wasn't, with seven brothers and sisters, there wasn't money available.
What was the instrument?
It was clarinet.
Okay.
And I absolutely loved it. And the other milestone when I was younger was I started a band and we sang at Shakey's Pizzas all over Wisconsin. And we didn't get much money, but we got free pizza and a pitcher of soda. And I thought, wow, I've made it. If I can get free pizza and a pitcher of soda, then I made it.
Okay, so singing is one thing. Playing a clarinet is very different. Mm-hmm. When did you start to actually read music and learn to be a musician?
In middle school. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, the rent was too high for the clarinet, so I couldn't keep it. So, and then I also realized that by playing the clarinet, I couldn't use my voice, which was my most powerful instrument. And I loved it more because I could use more passion singing. So I started singing and just researching singers and talking to other singers. And that's when I knew. That was a much more powerful instrument to me than any other instrument.
And was there a moment when you thought, I can do this professionally?
The moments that I spoke of before, and then I had made a CD with my band, and my dad put it in his record collection, which he would never have done because he really listened to music well. And when he put that in his record collection, I thought, I can do this.
Wow. Lisa? What about you? Now, you had a very musical family, and you were,
sure.
You were, I won't say pushed, but certainly encouraged.
Yeah, I felt very fortunate that, you know, in our family, we could practice 10 hours a day and nobody would complain, you know, because I have a lot of students that the parents aren't exactly as encouraging to hear the same thing repeated over and over and over and hours on end, which is what you have to do to perfect something, you know. So I felt very supported in my family. But when I moved here to study with Jeff Haskell at the university for a couple of years as a jazz studies major, and I had a roommate in college who said, so what are you going to do? And I said, well, I think I'll play piano. And she said, well, what if it doesn't work out? And I said, well, it has to. It's the only thing I know how to do. And this town has been so incredibly supportive. I think for all of us, you know, to be able to make a living doing what you love, you have to have fans. You have to have friends and family and people who will come out and hear you and will support you. And I've been here 30 years. Diane's been here 20 years. And I feel like, you know, we're very special. We're in a very special place. We couldn't necessarily do this as easily anywhere else, you know. And so, and to be surrounded by so many world-class musicians that we know that when we put on a concert, we have, you know, great talent to call up and invite out. So I just feel very fortunate. Everything that I've ever wanted to do has come true. And I think it's through the dedication of, you know, my intention of practicing and trying to perfect my instrument, but also the incredible response that we get from other people.
So before we take a break, I'm just going to go around the room one time and ask you, how many hours a day do you practice?
Well, it's still 10 hours a day for me because it's a 16, 18-hour job. I mean, you wake up doing it, you go to bed, you know, and you do the job until you go to bed. It's all it's the practicing, it's the performing, it's the marketing, the promotion, the booking, the organizing. It's a full-time, more
business.
Than a full-time business, right? Business. But when I was a kid, I practiced 10 hours a day. When I was trying to really focus on something, I think you guys had the same experience.
Yeah.
And it's still true.
The same thing. I think I practiced more than I did when I was younger because it's a full-time job and you just practice all the time, listening to music, mm-hmm. getting prepared for music, getting prepared for the gigs. So it's at least 10, 12 hours.
Sean?
It kind of depends on where we are in the season. If we have a lot of rehearsals and concerts, obviously it's going to be less in a day. You can't play 10 hours in a day on the horn. That would hurt. So several hours every day, certainly.
And Mike?
Yeah, definitely the same. It just depends on the workload. During the season, I might practice 2 hours, and in the summer, I might practice 4 hours. So.
Well, that's great. On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll listen to some more music, and then we'll talk about what it really means to live this career.
Do bees worry you? Do bees scare you? Would you like to know a pest control company who can give you options in dealing with this situation? How about bee removal? Or would you prefer to send them straight to bee heaven? Five Star Termite and Pest Control can give you these options. Call the professionals at Five Star, 886-0045, fivestar-termite.com.
Five Star Pest Control, we know what bugs you.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
In Arizona Stadium to experience the thrill of the 2015 Arizona football season. Be there for the big hits, miracle catches, and game-winning field goals. Be there as your Wildcats make history and march towards a Pac-12 championship. Be there to create priceless memories with family, friends, and fellow fans.
The home opener is Thursday, September 3rd versus UTSA. Tickets start at $12 for adults and $7 for kids. Call 621-CATS or visit ArizonaWildcats.com/UTSA.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, noon to one, each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. And we're always on BuckmasterShow.com.
And we're back live. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster in the studio with four professional musicians with whom we've been chatting and listening to some music. Mike Becker, trombonist with the Tucson Symphony, Sean Campbell, horn player, French horn player with the Symphony, and Lisa Ote and Diane von Dursen, who are a dynamic jazz and blues duet team, play the piano and sing. And, you know, we had a great discussion during the break about practice and you know, what goes through your heads all the time, and is music something that you can just kind of start and stop, or do you live it, like, you know, all the time? So let's listen to four more selections, or three more selections, and then we'll continue our chat. So let's listen to a song called Power of Love, and this is the duo of Van Dorsen and Lisa Ote.
I believe that it's a miracle that I found you and made you mine, and it's a miracle how love can grow so much in so little time. And I thank you every day in so many ways. Just can't get over the power of love.
That's the power of love. And again, Diane von Dursen and Lisa Ote. It is so clear the amount of work that goes into just making the precision happen, making the phrasing happen, the same length of vowels and consonants. I mean, the professionalism there is just so absolutely clear to anybody who kind of listens to that. And I'm always amazed at somebody who can sing and play the piano at the same time and concentrate on both those things and stay on pitch. Because I go flat instantly. I forget the support. So let's again switch flavors a little bit now, go on to the classical side. And let's hear a part of a Johannes Brahms horn trio. And again, this is Sean Campbell playing the French horn. What should we listen for here?
Well, this is, first of all horn players feel incredibly lucky that Brahms wrote this piece. It's called the Horn Trio, even though it's for violin, horn, and piano. And the sound of those three instruments together, I think, is really special.
It is.
And the violin and the horn are both very singing instruments, and it's really lovely to hear them together. I think the track that you're going to play is from the second movement, which is more of a hunting horn kind of thing, but really fun to hear anyway.
Thank you.
Oh, that is so typical of Brahms. That is just wonderful. And the last piece we'll hear in this hour is Mike Becker is going to the trombone as a solo instrument. We'll hear, and there were two cuts, and I'm going to apologize. I'm not sure which of the two we're going to hear.
We'll find out.
It's either Mahler or Bach. We should know instantly.
Yes, you'll know.
They're about 200 years apart. So let's hear the duet with Mike and a pianist or soloist.
Or solo.
Mike, tell us a little bit about that piece. I don't think Bach wrote it for trombone and piano.
No, that's another Mahler piece. I know I'm doing a lot of Mahler, but most of the music that I play is stolen because Brahms didn't write for solo trombone that much, maybe not at all. But I love playing, those are what we call art songs. So art song, basically speaking, is the combination of classical music and poetry. So, and almost every composer has written art songs. What I like about it is it combines so many elements. You have the poetry, and you have the composers interpreting the poetry to music. And then you have the interpreter, the performer, playing their interpretation of the music with what their interpretation of what the music should sound like and the meaning of the poetry. So you have all those artistic elements together, and that's why it's my favorite thing to listen to and to play.
Right. And it doesn't, I mean, this is not the way you normally think of the trombone. And I think I misspoke before when I said it was the Bach.
Right. Well, what do you mean by not what you think of the trombone?
Well,
Solo instrument?
You think of the trombone as a little more brassy.
Oh, right. So like when you heard from the orchestra,
sure.
The excerpt from the orchestra, that's the trombone is, you know, bold and maybe some people might say obnoxious, but no, but it's an extremely vocal instrument. It has the capacity to be probably, I'm going to just put this out here, it's probably the possibility of potential of being the most vocal of the instruments because of the slide.
Ah, so the most vocal of the brass instruments.
Of any instrument because of the slide, because the slide, you can bend pitches.
Ah.
You know, you don't have to play push down a valve or a key on a piano or the hole on the woodwind instrument. So what I'm saying is that they're all musical, but the voice is very elastic.
Now you can do some of that with a clarinet.
Not so much. I agree with him. I think, and understanding the trombone, because Lisa's brother plays a trombone and being in a jazz band, you can move it. There's more movement in it than, like the voice. I can twist a note or I can turn a note. And you can do that because of that slide. You can,
right.
And that's, it's so passionate, that piece. It was really beautiful.
Thank you. Well, so we call, you can do portamento on it. Wow. A lot easier than any other instrument.
Which is sliding from into a pitch or out of a pitch.
Yeah.
Right. Let's see. This is just so much fun. we were talking during the break about practicing, and we talked about how music kind of consumes you. And we talked about practicing for 7, 8, 10 hours a day. Clearly, you can't be blowing into a horn for 10 hours a day, and you probably can't sit at a piano 10 hours a day either. Your back starts to hurt. So what do you mean by being consumed for that period of time?
Well, for the piano, I think I still do spend 10 hours a day at the piano just because of my profession, you know. So we go from one gig to another gig to another gig to another gig, and you're using your instrument the entire time, and every gig is 2 or 3 hours. So it's still, some days are 12, 14 hours like that. But for practicing, we were discussing the fact that when you practice, you're just focusing on a very small part of a piece. You're trying to perfect, how do I get from this note to this note, or how do I, in classical music, it's all about the purity of your sound, you know, and your emotions coming through. In our style of music, it's a different kind of interpretation, you know, telling a story a different way, where we get away with a lot more. We get away with a lot more texture, you know, and gravel in our in our sound, or sloppy notes on the piano playing boogie woogie or jazz. You know, we get away with a lot more than we would if we were, you know, focusing on classical music. But we're constantly listening, and in the car when we wake up in the morning, you know, Diane is also a poet and a lyricist, and so she's constantly putting her environment into her lyrics. And so, yeah, it's a constant thing, arranging yeah. for different singers, writing songs, you know.
So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the difference between popular music and classical music.
The U of A Psychiatry Department is seeking veterans, first responders, and other individuals who've experienced traumatic stress in the past 5 years to participate in a DOD-funded study using light exposure and brain imaging. Eligible participants will receive up to $1,200 for completing the study. For more information, call 520-428-5141 or visit uascanlab.com. Click on the Traumatic Stress Study link. That's 520-428-5141 or uascanlab.com. This study has been approved by the U of A Institutional Review Board.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Firo Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Firo Mori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Firo Mori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Firo Mori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Firo Mori on the web at viroamori.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
And we're back live. Shelley Fishman sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster with four of Tucson's most wonderful professional musicians. We have Sean Campbell from the orchestra and Mike Becker from the orchestra. And then we have Diane Van Dersen and Lisa Ote, both jazz and blues musicians. And, you know, that says, well, first of all, what made me think I could do both of these things in the same show? A pair of classical musicians, a pair of popular musicians. So it begs the question, what's the difference? And so, Diane, I'm going to start with you. What's the difference as a singer in approaching what you do, do you think? And how does it differ from what a classical singer might do?
That's a very good question. First of all, I think the big similarity is the passion that you have for your craft and how you want to hone it and do well with it. One of the differences that I have vocally is I have more freedom than a classical musician does, where I can take my own interpretation and bend it a little bit more. You know, the classical musicians definitely have their interpretation of that piece. But I have a little more freedom where I can, if I want to twist a note a certain way or lengthen it a little longer, I can do that. And I love that. I think that's the beauty of what I love doing.
Mike, you said you started off playing jazz trombone, and it was just, you know, very, very different and both requiring a lot of work. But to your way of thinking, how do you differentiate the classical trombone and the jazz trombone?
Well, I think I would agree that there's this freedom element. The similarities are the amount of dedication and work that you have to put into both. And I'm glad that I got the training in jazz because it's really good to develop your ear. And also, when you play in the orchestra, we play pops concerts. We play. Mm-hmm. We've done big band pop concerts. We've done rock. We do all styles of music in the TSO. I mean, there's something for everybody. So my training in jazz has helped me a lot. But the differences are, you can't, in the classical music, there's probably more emphasis on precision, and you have to play in an ensemble, so you have to make sure that you're doing your part well and blending in and not playing a note longer than everybody else, that kind of stuff.
And we need another hour to talk about some of those kinds of things, because, you know, being a soloist is one thing. Working in an ensemble, for instance, a chamber ensemble is another, and then being part of a section in an orchestra has got to be yet a whole, to use the word that we hear all the time, another thing.
That's right. We're members of say an 80-person team, and so when we're on stage, we're taking care of our part. We're listening to ourselves, but we're listening to all of our colleagues and have responsibility to them as well. To the freedom question, there is a place for freedom in an orchestra as well as a real responsibility to the style. So we do spend a lot of time studying style and thinking about whether it's the right style for a jazz concert that the symphony plays or the right style for Mahler versus Mozart.
I'm going to ask Lisa, because you sing and play the piano at the same time, and I joked before that I find that just the most formidable task you can imagine. One of the differences in performance between classical musicians and, for the most part, and popular musicians is the presence or absence or reliance or absence of reliance on amplification, on microphones. Mm-hmm. How does that play into what you can do?
Well, it certainly, as far as the microphone goes, I mean, you change your sound. It would be differently if you didn't have a microphone. And I think popular musicians probably rely too much on the microphone, you know, get away from, because if we were opera singers, we wouldn't need it, you know. We would be able to, and in the old days, the theater performers didn't have microphones. And so I think I've gotten quite a bit lazy as far as, I mean, I still support my voice and I still try to place it correctly, but I'm definitely singing into the microphone and not worrying about filling a room like I would have to do with a horn.
Yeah, and that is a big difference. For instance, if you're singing opera, you don't sing every night. You sing every third night, except when you're starting out, and then you sing whenever you can. but you can really do a lot of damage to the voice. When we've heard some really good voices who appear to be classical musicians who never sang in the house. And we were talking about Mario Lanza before. Never sang a live performance, but he was clearly an opera singer. And so, you know, those of us who were singing live performances used to say, yeah, but he can't sing a live performance. But, you know, that's same thing with Broadway performers. I mean, when I grew up, and this will age me a bunch, when I grew up, microphones were just being introduced into the Broadway houses. But you still had to sing 8 performances a week. Today, you know, you wear body mics and the vocal production is probably the same, but the amount of energy you have to give to it is very, very different. What about for instrumental musicians? I mean, is projection a big issue?
It's very much an issue. And for us, the microphone per se is the hall that we play in. The room that we're in makes an enormous difference in the sound that the audience gets and in how much energy we have to use to get the sound out to the audience. We call it let's say your orchestra has 100 people, you really have 101 instruments in the orchestra because the hall is that last instrument.
Okay, and I'm going to resist the temptation to comment about at least one of the halls you guys play in, one of which is very, very good, the high school, and one not so good, needs a lot of work, and, you know, and I know the orchestra is working on that. So what I want to do before we quit is give you guys an opportunity to just talk about some of the things you're doing and what the audience should know about, look for in terms of hearing you guys live, seeing what you do.
Well, we have our websites, dianvanderzen.com and lisaote.com, where you can always find out all the information about what we're doing. We have several concerts coming up, benefit concerts for Emerge Domestic Center Against Violence over at Water of Life Church on September 26th. Also, a live theater workshop benefit at the Savoy Opera House on September 19th. And then we organize a Monday night concert series at Z Mansion downtown. But you can find it all on our websites.
Say the website again.
DianeVanDersen.com.
Spell Diane Van Dersen.
DianeVanDerzen.com or LisaOte.com.
That's great. Diane, do you want to say something more?
Yeah, we also play almost every Sunday night at Hacienda del Sol and the other concerts that Lisa mentioned.
Okay.
Just go to TucsonSymphony.org and you'll see all that we do.
We have a fantastic season coming up. We're very excited about it, and we hope the whole community comes out.
Okay, well, this is Shelley Fishman substituting for Bill Buckmaster. I am just so thrilled. This hour, of course, flew by. I really appreciate the attention from the audience. Hope we can do some more of this. Thank my guests, Lisa and Diane, Mike and Sean, and especially Ray Allen, who engineered for us today. Have a great week, and don't look at the market every day. It's just going to make you sick.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.